Welcome, everybody, to another great edition of Talking Tigs. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me, as always, is Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zellinger. Got a great one for you this week. We have LSU baseball completing a full sweep at the box, starting to SEC play. We also have some We also have men's and women's basketball to get in with but men's seeing another road for them. Women will be marching on. More on that in a minute. And then also some football news. I mean, it's about that time. It's almost spring game time, but we have some other news NFL-wise. But before we get into any of that, I want to check in with you guys, see how you're doing. Tommy, I had a warning for weather. I know you did. I don't know if Daniel did down in the South. It was kind of crazy, though. I didn't really pay any mind, but, you know, a lot of baseball games and other things were adjusted because of it. Hopefully everything was okay in Louisiana. I think Mississippi got hit hard, but hopefully you had a good week and weren't affected by that.
Yeah, good to be with you. Good week. The weather, I mean, it did – there was a big – it was a big storm, but it came in right at the perfect time to where it missed both both the Friday and the Saturday LSU game. And so it was basically right between them. And, you know, they had the tarp out and everything. So no issues there. A lot of wind. I mean, it was swirling on Saturday, but, other than that, doing fine. Good to be here. Good to be with you and good to be talking about a Tiger sweep. I mean, first one of this year, first one of 2024 as well. We didn't get a single one last year, I don't believe, in SEC play.
Right.
So, good to, you know, good to start off the SEC slate with a nice sweep.
Yes, a lot going on in the sports world with the March Madness kicking off this week. Brackets being filled out as we discuss this podcast, and many a bracket will be busted by the next time we record. But yeah, lots to do for LSU as well. Women are taking the court in the NCAA tournament, and then baseball rolls on. Very nice start to the SEC schedule, sweeping up Missouri at home, and then a huge weekend upcoming in Austin at Texas, top five matchup there. So plenty to be excited about, and then spring football is ongoing as well. The social media team has been dropping highlights and stuff, players getting mic'd up and getting excited. So yeah, a lot to go over, and happy to break that down with y'all today.
Happy as well, and it was a great sweep for LSU to open with SEC play at home, at the box, great crowds. Like you said, Tommy, the weather was in between, so they kind of missed all of that. No typical rain delays, but, I mean, LSU did what they needed to do. I'd say, how could you be upset at all with a 12-5, 7-6, or 10-5 win? I mean, that middle game gave us a little bit of stress. Missouri showed to be themselves a little bit pesky when, you know, all the talk beforehand was, oh, they're the doormat of the SEC this year and they're not going to do anything. But I mean, they kind of gave us all we could handle, at least for a game, maybe game and a half. But Tigers showed out, obviously their talent and Jay Johnson's genius decided that one. But it's good to see them, you know, kind of eke out another gritty win. Right, at least for that middle game, because I think last year that LSU team in particular probably took that loss, but still, you know, took the series, come away with a series win, which is still important, but it's better to have a sweep, right?
No, absolutely. And I got to be at the Saturday game. Great atmosphere, sellout crowd with standing room only tickets. And like you said, Missouri gave them everything they could give. Two home runs from the nine hole hitter, which was kind of interesting. But I think big shout out to Kaysen Evans. I mean, that his performance in the eighth and ninth inning, stellar. That getting out of that jam with bases loaded, huge. Mm-hmm. I think that was the magic moment for that game. But according, you know, Jay Johnson's magic moment. So rightfully so. But overall, I was very impressed with LSU this entire weekend. And I think we've got a lot to be excited about. I mean, the depth of this team, you know, they played different lineups every game, all three games, as far as like in the field, different in different batting order and everything. Just exciting to see. Dana, what'd you think?
Yeah, it wasn't, I would say, a dominant performance, but it was very solid kind of top to bottom. And it was a weekend where, yeah, you could say last year's team could have easily folded one or maybe two of these games. The pitching was good. I wouldn't say amazing. Kate Anderson had a nice day on Friday, kind of as our opening day starter. And then Anthony Edson was coming off his 15 strikeout performance last week and struggled a little bit in that second game and got pulled, I believe, in the fourth inning. Yeah. And then we had kind of a revolving door of relievers till Case Nevins had to come in and shut the door in the eighth inning. But yeah, and then Chase Shores didn't go quite as long as he had wanted to on Sunday, but overall pretty good. The hitting was nice top to bottom throughout the lineup. Jake Brown had himself a really nice week, racking up, yeah, I think, 6 or 7 RBIs across the three games and showing why he deserves to have an everyday starting spot in the lineup. And another guy who impressed me was Michael Braswell, who had kind of found himself on the outs a little bit and got back into the lineup. And he didn't hit for a whole lot of power, but he got on base like a bunch of times. Like he had a few squeeze bunt singles. And was able to make some nice plays at third base as well. So I liked him in there. And if he can get his bat going again, he's definitely a veteran leader who can help our lineup. But yeah, everybody, I think, was solid, and we didn't buckle under the pressure. So hopefully that bodes well for this upcoming big test in Austin versus Texas.
Okay, one note. Did y'all see the suicide squeeze that we ran on Saturday?
Yep.
That was insane. It was really cool. It was really cool to see in person, but was so surprised. You don't see that too often. So definitely cool to see and you know, good bit of, but I was really impressed with the base running in general. Stephen Milam had two tag ups, and these were like little things where it's like, you know, you don't normally like think about like, oh, he tagged up from second to third, but I mean, that made a big difference in like being able to score runs. And he tagged up on shallow fly balls into the outfield that normally you would think like, oh, no one's moving on that. But you know, I think that just shows how much of like a straight up ball player he is. And was really cool to see. Just excited about this team. I really have not seen something so far. And I mean, it's early in the season, but I have not seen anything where I'm like, I don't know about this one. I think this team has it, and I'm excited to see them keep on going.
Yeah, and Jay Johnson's teams in the past, their hallmark is more power than playing small ball, and that's what we saw the past few years with guys like Dylan Cruz and Tommy White and Kay Doty and other power hitters. And we still have a few of those. Jared Jones and Daniel Dickinson have launched a few themselves, but yeah, we've been leaning more into the being more aggressive on the base pass. You mentioned Michael Braswell laying down the sacrifice squeeze to first base to score a run, and just being all over kind of more kind of hitting runs. There was one where Chris Stanfield scored from third when somebody was caught in a rundown between first and second. I believe it was Curiel maybe, and he was dancing back and forth, and then
that was really
Stanfield was able to sneak home. And so yeah, just being smart across the
heads
base pass.
Plays.
And that'll squeeze you out runs. And I mean, it made the difference in the game Saturday, 7-6, one run game. You get it where you can. So that's encouraging to see. And hopefully that will continue down the stretch. The end.
Love it. No, I mean, I think you're totally right. Like there's not much more to say. It was a complete week for LSU baseball. Exciting performances. Now we got, looking forward, we have Texas this weekend in Austin. Mm-hmm. What do we think about that? I mean, this is going to be our first real test.
Yeah, well, LSU actually dropped down from the number one spot to number two this week, which is somewhat understandable as Tennessee, they swept, I think, number six, Florida, and they're the only undefeated team left in the country. So Tennessee has secured that number one spot across the board. LSU sitting at number two. But Texas is right there with us at number five in the nation. They only have one loss as well. So a very solid team. It's going to be a big crowd, I would imagine, in a hostile environment. So it's hard to say winning the series 2-1 would be a big victory for LSU. And just coming away with one is not the end of the world, but yeah, Texas has solid starting pitching similar to LSU. So just hopefully we can get the bats going and not roll over like we have done in some other situations. But yeah, I want us to get at least one, and that series victory would be pretty sweet.
Yeah. I mean, even coming away with the series win, again, like two weekends in a row, especially on the road in Texas. I mean, they look pretty good so far, right? Like they look like one of the top teams in the SEC. I mean, but that's kind of putting it loosely, because there's a lot of teams that are ranked right now, and we're all still trying to figure out who really is the top team. Is it us? Is it, well, could be Tennessee, right? Because they're undefeated. They're knocking home runs and grand slams all over the place. So we have them later in the year, so we can cross that bridge when we get to it. But now that we have this sweep, looking forward, yeah, we have Texas in Austin, and it's against the, well, not the team, but the coach of, you know, the recent national champions, well, the year before last. So I don't know. He's got them playing like maybe he had Texas A&M playing, because the Aggies do not look good at all. I don't know. They shouldn't be ranked if they are in any polls at this point. I don't think they are, but quite a fall from them. But, you know, maybe Schlossnagel was the reason they won in the begin with. We'll see, right? I trust in Jay, and I trust in our three starting pitchers. That's kind of something he kind of alluded to, is that, you know, we have this year, and something we haven't had previously is three solid weekend starters. We've been fortunate. We haven't had to have them tested to, like, knocked out of the game in, like, the first or second inning yet, you know, unless it was by design already. So I think we're looking good there. And, yeah, you got guys like Evans that can come in and close it out. I think he was going to see if Will Schmidt could kind of be that mid-game guy, you know, that can go a few innings. He kind of said, well, I think Schmidt's done with his midweek games for now. But, you know, he wants to put him there. So, I mean, he did, what, okay this weekend. But we'll see if he can expand on that role. But you got to feel good about that. You got to feel good about LSU being able to play small ball. I mean, we're a bunting team now. Or who'd have thought? But it's also, I think, what really helps is having guys like Derek Curiel, you know, freshman. The guy's just, he's probably the best leadoff hitter in the country, right? Like he
can do it with
singles. Yeah, singles, doubles, triples. He can hit a home run now too. But that's how I feel.
Yeah. So good times for LSU to watch. Friday game coming up, 7 p.m. Central, Saturday, 6 p.m., and then Sunday, the rubber match at 2 o'clock. So I'm not sure if any of that will be on TV or not, but considering all the March Madness is starting, but maybe check ESPN, but otherwise it should be on the app or the radio. But yeah, tune in if you're not watching basketball, and hopefully LSU gets the dub.
I bet it'll be on SEC Network, if I had to guess.
Probably so. Because CBS has the basketball, so.
And TNT and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, it's a good time to be a Tiger on the diamond. Not as good a time to be a Tiger on the hard court. Well, if you're a male Tiger. Lady Tigers doing well on the hard court, though. So, that's my segue. Scott, what do you think? Female Tigers,
right,
on the hard court.
Yeah, male Tiger, it's so bad, in fact, that they don't even want it anymore themselves. They decided to opt out of the NIT invitation that they were given to sit at home and just kind of think about things, work towards next year, which I think is good. I mean, Matt McMahon has been given an extra year, so stay home, think about it, look at what this new NIL infusion could do for you, and hit the transfer portal, because, you know, the guys that did make the tournament, maybe there's somebody there. But, you know, after each weekend of the tournament, some more guys could be available, since I guess technically at that point it's not going to be poaching. So let's see what happens. Women, on the other hand, yeah, you could be excited. But I don't know. Hopefully there's at least enough sense of, yeah, we could do this. We'll get them next year. You know, maybe that.
Yeah, I recently learned the rules. Well, I guess not really the rules, but the qualifications for the NIT, which is that the SEC gets automatically two bids to the NIT for their top two teams that did not make the NCAA tournament. And it just so happens that this year 14 out of the 16 teams in the SEC got bids to the NCAA tournament, two of which the illustrious LSU Tigers and South Carolina. So they got the remaining two bids to the NIT, even though both were absolute cellar dwellers. And LSU and South Carolina both declined. I guess they kind of bent the knee and said, we'll exit gracefully, which maybe is a smart move. You don't want to butt heads with a school from the Midwest and just get blown out and just have more misery. We'll let the big boys play in the field of 68 coming up here. The women, on the other hand, they match up against San Diego State on Saturday, March 22nd at 9:15 PM Central Time, late tip. LSU Tigers after dark. But yeah, they'll be playing in Baton Rouge, I do believe, as a number 3 seed against the 14th seeded Aztecs. And then on their kind of little quadrant there, they've got number 6 Florida State versus number 11 George Mason in their group. So I can definitely see LSU coming out of that. Key is to whether they'll have Flo J. Johnson and Anissa Mora back at full strength after both had some kind of injury timeouts over the last few weeks. If we're good to go, then I can see LSU making a run. If not, they lean pretty heavily on those scorers, so it could be tough for Kim Mulkey's Tigers, but should be fun either way. And like I mentioned, on the men's side, 14 SEC teams, strength all across the board. Florida won the SEC tournament and looked like they could be the best team in the land. So it's really anybody's ball game. But Auburn did get the number 1 overall seed, even though they've lost a couple recently. So should be fun, and excited to see what kind of madness ensues.
And yeah, like you said, Florida winning the SEC tournament, Auburn losing to Tennessee in the semifinal to get to the SEC tournament final. Mm-hmm. There's so much talent stacked top to bottom in the SEC this year. So I filled up my bracket. I've got Duke winning it all. But with an appearance from Auburn and an appearance from Alabama, I believe. So that's kind of just where I'm at.
Any particular Cinderellas you got your eye on, Scott?
That's what I was going to ask you, is if there's going to be any, Cinderella stories. I would say it's interesting that the SEC has set a conference record for most teams, selected for a tournament, 13, mm-hmm. I believe, which is, God, it's almost a quarter of the field, but I don't know that I would pick any of them. Maybe, Alabama or Auburn, that'd be a good one, but I don't know. I kind of want to go with this 13 seed called McNeese State. I think they open up with Clemson, and I don't know. I say I'd want to give them a ride. Right, if I'm filling out a bracket, at least a couple, I think they could make it to the Sweet 16. And there's always a 5-13 flop, right, each year, or some other variation of that. So if I'm picking upsets, I would go with that one. We'll see afterwards. I mean, he's completely turned the program around, so I think I would go with him. Now, as far as like an all-out winner, I have no idea. Who ended up winning the SEC, right? It was Florida. It wasn't anybody that – you would have thought maybe 20 games ago. So
yeah.
What do you guys think?
I had Florida winning the whole tournament in my bracket. A little sneak peek out there. Yeah. I just, they were hot in the SEC tournament, and maybe they'll continue that. As far as the upsets. Yeah. Last year, McNeese was a pretty popular upset pick against Gonzaga, and they ended up getting beat pretty handily, I do believe. But hopefully they can redeem themselves against the Clemson Tigers. As the only representative from the state of Louisiana, I kind of like Colorado State, 12 seed over Memphis, and then maybe on a run to the Sweet 16 over Maryland. That could be fun. A popular pick is Drake, number 11 seed over Missouri. Drake scores a lot of points. And shout out to Yale, the Yale Bulldogs out of the Ivy League. Have a relative who attended there, and he's quite excited about them reaching the March Madness. So they face off against SEC foe Texas A&M in the first round. So that could be another upset alert. I'm interested to see when the first number 1 seed will fall. I think that number one Houston might be dropping in the second rounds against either Gonzaga or Georgia. Houston's a real strong defensive team, but they kind of play like slugs. They don't really push the ball offensively, and a lot of times that can get you in trouble if you're not able to score the points you need to in March. But yeah, I'm sure there'll be some crazy upsets that nobody sees coming, and that's kind of the magic of it all. So looking forward to watching.
I mean, what if you just want to go out on a limb and take Wofford over number two Tennessee?
Could be. Well, I mean, the March Madness overall is basically like the biggest kind of gambling event of the year. I probably won't be placing any bets myself, but I did hear on the radio on the way to work today that they're expecting $3.1 billion in the U.S. Yeah. wagered on March Madness overall. That was up from like $2.7 billion last year, I believe. So it just gets crazier and crazier. So there may be someone out there, you know, will be sweating a random yeah. 15 versus two or something coming up here on True TV. But yeah, it's exciting no matter what, when they end up cutting down the nets.
Right. And I think it's interesting that the women have their bracket too. And the Tigers are actually hosting the game. So it's like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you think it would ever switch over to where the men could do that, like where, you know, some top seeds would actually host? I don't know. Like, I think, you know, kind of like they could do with baseball, regional, super regional.
Yeah, I think it would be good for the teams themselves and the fans, but I think there's a little bit too much money in it for
way too much money
for the networks and these random stadiums that whatever they get their cut to release the men's to the masses. I think it works fine for the women because like the people who are going to watch it anyway. And there's not as much kind of, I mean, there's a lot at stake, but I wouldn't say it's like as insane really. So like it's more fun to have a pumped up home crowd than having LSU versus San Diego State, like in Boston, Massachusetts, and the stands are like a quarter empty because nobody can make that trip. Like it's better just to have it at home and fill the crowd. Meanwhile, like the men, like you can pretty much find a decent crowd wherever you go. Yeah. But that is cool that they have it at home, and hopefully the LSU faithful will show up and cheer the Lady Tigers on to victory.
Yeah. Exactly. Pack the Mac. I thought it was, like I said, kind of fitting that LSU declined an invitation because they did receive one to the NIT. And I thought, well, I mean, maybe that could be a chance to show something extra. But I don't know. I mean, they did that a few years ago. And it just, if you go out the first game in the NIT, it's not a good way to end the season. You can have a bad taste in your mouth. So I'm kind of glad they declined it. And at least it was a different situation from what a few years ago. Remember LSU had one in Johnny Jones, but the way that season, he's like, no. Actually, he said, hell no. And glad they did then also.
Yeah.
Now we'll see LSU play the women and then head out west to Spokane, Washington. Like you said, totally random places because why not? But anyway, having said all that, I mean, you know, baseball, basketball, there's track that's going on. Tigers are showing out there too. But of course, football, that's not around the corner because that's not officially until the fall. But there is the spring activities, which we usually talk about. Fortunately, none off the field too much this off season yet anyway. But Tigers still have spring practice. Looks like they're working some new guys in, seeing what the true freshmen can do. And yeah, I don't know. I guess they're also going to change with how they approach things. Tigers no longer going to have a spring game. I thought it was interesting on why. I mean, a lot of the reasons they say that coaches don't want to do it is because they don't want other teams poaching their players, looking at who's creating the highlights from the spring game. Brian Kelly says that's not why. It's because he wants to work on special teams. I think we need another special teams practice. That's pretty much what he said. You can go check the interview. So I don't know. Just wondering what you guys said about that. Both, you know, not having the spring game, which I think – I don't know if it's really going to detract from people poaching because there's still videos out there. But it's still just a glorified practice. Anyway, I don't know that it ever really – reveals anything for the fall that's going to be detrimental to your game plan, at least for game one, which this year will be against Clemson. So I don't buy that either. So I don't know. Maybe he does think he's going to have somebody poached, but what do you guys say?
Disappointed. I think we talked about it last week or maybe the week before, but I like the spring game in general. I like spring football. So I'm disappointed to see that they're not going to do it. And I think that, but I understand, you know, it's like, well, if one team's not going to do it, then why would I? But I mean, looking forward to, I think that there's a lot of excitement to be had as far as about the program. Barry and Brown, I've seen some videos of him. People were talking about him a lot, maybe being the fastest player in college football, you know, being a real deep threat. You think about with Aaron Anderson, Barry and Brown, and Chris Hilton, having them all on the field at the same time, it's going to be a real speedy package that you could put together for that offense. Tre'Davious Green's looking good at the tight end position. Supposedly Nussmeier's looking good. You know who's like kind of, I think, been looking good and not as expected to? Former president Martin Van Buren. Michael Van Buren. he's been tossing the rock a little bit well. So, you know, good, all around good stuff from LSU. And I'm sad that I won't be able to see it, in a spring game situation. But like you said, Scott, there's a lot of video coming out. And I'm sure there'll be more as the media gets more availability at practice. And that's just what we want to see. We just want to see them in pads, right? Like, I don't care about, you know, who they're playing against in the spring. I don't care if it's like at Tiger Stadium or at the practice facility. I just want to see them in pads.
Yeah, it would be nice to have that spring game and kind of throw the fans a bone, give them something to look forward to a little bit. But I guess that is the trend of trying to control the narrative a little bit in terms of what gets out there, who's moving up, moving down. Another one of the guys that you didn't mention, they released a video of him kind of going crazy today, is Jack Pyburn, who's a transfer DN from Florida, who was – in the video clips, at least looked like he was winning some good reps. And then the thing they put out, former LSU offensive tackle Will Campbell was there watching the practice, and Pyburn goes up to him. He's like, "Hey, Will, remember me?" And kind of thumps him on the shoulder because he was from Florida last year. And I think he might have won a few reps against Campbell in last year's game. But you like to see the energy and the guys just kind of getting pumped up and ready for the season, even though it is still a number of months away. But hopefully Kelly can make the most of these practices over the next month or so, and then we get into the summer workouts and whatnot as the summer lull sets in. But yeah, still gets you a little bit energized and pumped up for football season right around the corner. And then speaking of spring training, I saw people were posting the clip of Ja'Marr Chase working against Derek Stingley in Stingley's freshman year, considering that both of them just got big old contracts in the last like 2 days. Like, there's $250 million on the field right there going crazy. Like, LSU needs to use this clip like in every single marketing promotion for high school recruiting and stuff, and say, you play for LSU, we'll get you paid.
Speaking of, and then also just speaking of phenom cornerbacks, Dan and Scott, did y'all see the video of DJ Pickett with his interception?
Yeah.
So that's another one to watch out for. Excited about that, but sorry, yeah, to cut you off, Scott.
And what I would do if I was working for LSU and related to NIL at all, is I would take another, the news about Derek Stingley getting $90 million basically over 3 years, 29 of that, guaranteed each year. So I would take that and say, look at this. And then I'd show them the picture of Ja'Marr Chase, who's about to get the most, who's a non-quarterback position. But, Joe Burrow had that with his contract. Like, don't you think, LSU loves to put up billboards. Shouldn't they be putting up billboards to all these, it doesn't matter where, really, recruits, wherever you can find them, just billboards of this is what you can make. LSU, it's a smart decision. It's a business decision. Come.
Invest right in us, and we'll invest in you.
Exactly. Now, going back to the practice, no longer game, which I think is silly. Just give us a spring game. Like you said, give the fans some meat. Give us some chum to keep us going until September. It still will be an open practice, free for anyone that wants to go. So you can still do that. And I'd say, why not? Because, I mean, it's just a practice anyway. Now they're just not calling it a game. It's not going to be colors, scores, anything like that, I'm guessing. They're just going to run plays.
Yeah. They might not even get full pads. Who knows?
Right. They're probably just going to do a walkthrough.
They'll do a walkthrough, yeah.
Some stretching.
Yeah, I might be there, but unfortunately, it turns out I'm getting married on that day. So Ryan Kelly declined my invitation to the wedding. He's got better stuff to attend.
Well, David, why don't we go? Why don't we go before? Why don't we just like pause the wedding and go watch the open practice?
Well, we don't have to. We can do both. It starts at 10 a.m. I think.
Yeah, it's true. It's an evening wedding. We can just show up all hot and sweaty from Tiger Stadium and just get the marriage over with and then watch highlights the rest of the evening.
We should put highlights on at the reception.
They'll let us use the showers, I'm sure. Anyway, but yeah, BK, he's got time. Don't take no for an answer, Dan. It's just about overcoming objections.
If he can donate $1 million to the NIL fund, he can donate $1 million to my honeymoon fund.
Or at least, what, 10 grand?
Can't be that bad.
Yeah, throw a dog a bone. Come on, right? BK.
But
doesn't
anyway,
he know that we have 250 podcasts before him?
I don't know, Tommy. There's a lot of dogs out there that want bones, and they got families. So we'll see where this NIL money goes. But we should expect to see more because there's been a big infusion, right?
Yeah.
We'll have more on that later. But, yeah, we'll see what happens once this next portal opens up. But other than that, do y'all have anything else?
It does it on my end. Another good week. Excited. I'm ready to get the madness started. I'm ready to get the real into the SEC, the thick of SEC baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I think the first four matchups are Tuesday, tomorrow, and Wednesday. The actual games starting Thursday and Friday, I do believe. So yeah, people will be setting your calendars. Not too much work getting done later on this week. People get the multiple screens going. Check your channel listings for True TV. That's always an important one. And then just have fun out there.
Right on. And we will have some more, I guess, details later for you folks. You know, after the spring game, we'll tell you where the reception is. You can come and join us at the bonfire. But I think that'll pretty much do it for us here on Talking Tigs. Tune in next week. We'll have some more wrap up for you from, not the box, but, you know, just Tiger baseball in general, as well as some other news, you know, maybe some tournament action for you. But until then, hope everyone has a great week. Happy 317 that all that celebrate, not just St. Patrick's Day, but also 3rd and 17 at Texas in 2019, the start of the run. But anyway, until then, stay safe, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.